Do I look like some kind of monster?
This is Barbarian.
Oh, you've got to be kidding me.
Yeah?
This is 476 Barbary, right?
Yeah, I'm renting this place.
No, I booked it a month ago.
Are you sure you have the right place?
Yeah. What am I supposed to do?
Why don't you come inside, and we'll call these idiots. Why don't you just crash here?
Oh, no.
I don't know if you got a great look at this neighborhood, but I don't think you should be out there by yourself. It's dry and there's a lock on the door.
By the way, I'm Keith.
Tess.
You take the bedroom and I'll sleep out here on the couch.
God. Perfectly natural.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Bela Lugosi's Undead. I'm AJ.
And I'm Spooky Ryan.
And today we are talking another New Blood because every once in a while something comes along that is so fucking cool you just can't help but talk about it. And
dude, this year's been crazy too. There's so many good movies out.
Honest to God, we're gonna have to, when we do our end of the year thing with the best of 2022 horror movies, it's gonna be hard. Bloodbath. It's gonna be a total bloodbath. It's gonna just be movie on top of movie. We're gonna have to go 10 deep. It's gonna be crazy. This episode is gonna be on our 2022 film Barbarian, directed by Zach Krieger of Ways Kids You Know fame, who has now turned into one of our directors to watch in the genre because he's clearly knows his stuff, and Barbarian is somewhat of a phenomenon.
Yeah, absolutely. AJ, do you want to do the 90 seconds?
Sure, I will try to do 90 seconds on this one. Do you got a timer up?
Yeah, let me get a timer.
Go. All right, so Tess is a woman who shows up at an Airbnb, and she rolls up, but it turns out somebody else is already staying inside the Airbnb. It's some guy named Keith. Well, they kind of jump inside, they try to sort out what's going on, and because there's a convention in town, Keith offers to let her stay in the Airbnb with him. And Keith is giving off some pretty creepy vibes, but she's like, okay, well, if he lets me stay in the room and I can lock it, not a big deal. In the middle of the night, the door comes undone, and Keith is having a weird nightmare. But so then Tess goes out and checks on him, and boom, everything's fine. He's just having a weird nightmare. They move on. So the next morning, she goes to her job interview. She comes back to the hotel, or back to the Airbnb. It turns out the neighborhood is like a total sketch neighborhood. And a homeless man runs up to her and says, hey, don't go in the house. But she runs into the house anyway. And as she explores inside the house, trying to look for some toilet paper, she finds a basement. And in the basement, there's an even darker room. And then as she keeps going deeper and deeper into the basement, weirder stuff starts to happen. So she tries to leave. Keith goes down to check it out. Keith gets kidnapped by something. We then flash cut to a completely different person who we haven't seen.
Now we need a whole new story of 17 seconds.
Okay, and then I don't want to go any further because I want people to enjoy this movie. But oh my God, there's so much going on. There's so much going on.
I know. I mean, you did pretty well for 90 seconds on how, like, how much story there is in this movie.
Yeah, that's the, like, sneaky thing about this particular movie is, even though it is only, like, a 90-minute quick down-and-dirty horror film, every single thing that happens in the movie builds and matters. There's nothing in the movie that's fat. And that's, like, crazy. Because it feels, while you're in it, you're like, what is going on?
Yes.
As you hit the conclusion of AJ throwing Tess off the roof and so to try to kill the mother, like, it still all matters. Every single second of this movie matters.
Yeah, I mean, the one piece that I really liked is there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of movies that would make Keith, like, the bad guy, right, in that movie. But I really like that, like, Keith, and also, like you mentioned, he's it, right? Mm-hmm. So he looks just creepy naturally. Like,
yeah, exactly.
It the creature from It.
He plays Pennywise in the It films. Yeah. And it's a brilliant use of casting that I think horror movies sometimes need to be better at doing, where you cash in on somebody's look and their personality and what we already know them from. Because when you and I saw the trailer for this movie, you're like, oh, obviously he's the bad guy. He's Bill Skarsgård. Yeah. Like, he's like we said, he's Pennywise the Clown. He's good at doing this thing. And instead, the film kind of inverts that on itself.
Yeah, and absolutely.
Straight up, like, it makes for a stunning, like, psycho-level, like, reveal at the end of the first act. Because, again, you think that the woman's going to be the hero, Marion Crane, and then she gets murdered. And in this case, Keith, you think he's going to be a bad guy until he gets murdered by a bigger, badder monster.
Yes. And that kill is just awesome. I really want to know how they did those effect with that crush, like that face crush.
Yeah, whenever you smash somebody's head over and over and over again into a wall. And what makes that scene so unsettling is the way he comes out of the dark and he's just, like, crawling, and you're like, what is going on? Like, he is really messed up. He comes out animalistic after you've already seen little cages.
Yes.
And he's like, please.
No, that's a good point.
Please, let's leave. Please, let's get out of here.
Yeah.
And then a creature just comes out of nowhere, out of the dark.
Yes.
And the way they use the lighting in the tunnels underneath this house is so cool.
Yeah.
Like,
absolutely. The crazy thing, until he's dead, you're still suspecting that he is behind these cages and this, like, weird, at that point, you think sex dungeon, right?
Yes, 100%. 100%.
It's literally until his face hits that wall. Like, the piece I really like is that they have this great conversation, they, like, connect over these things, but she's wary. And she's wary exactly because of people like AJ. You know what I mean?
Now, people like me, to be clear. People like Justin Long's character, AJ. Yes.
Yeah, fuck you, AJ.
I don't know, maybe she should be scared.
So anyway, and she's scared of him because of people like AJ and Justin Long's character. And it's just such a cool way of doing it where it's like, he, you know, because they're talking and she's having this conversation and she's like, like, men just, like, you know, rip people's heart out or whatever. Mm-hmm. He's like, well, women can rip people's heart out too. And they're connecting over the humanness of the experience of being human. Right. And then you cut to AJ, Justin Long's character, and he's just, like, a straight up, like, you know, unremorseful, like, assaulter. I mean, he has some remorse, but not really.
No, like, he only has remorse because it actively affects him.
And exactly.
And one of the things that I think really works about this film is that it layers this, like, just distrust of men and also sexual assault over the entire film.
The entire film.
You're worried about it the whole time.
No, I agree. I think that that's something that's really cool that he was able to do. I mean, that's something that women worry about constantly, and that was the feeling the whole movie.
Yep.
So
I mean, between the Keith character, even though he seems nice, he seems like a good guy, but also you're just like, this guy looks dangerous. He has a weird, murky past. He apparently likes to stay in abandoned houses. And then once you see the neighborhood, you're just like, what is going on in this neighborhood where they're staying in the one nice Airbnb in an area full of seemingly, like, dilapidated housing. like, why is Keith here? All of that is weird. And then the Justin Long AJ character, he, you know, again, we carry in the baggage of, oh, he's Justin Long. He's the cute nerd from Dodgeball.
Right.
He's not a bad guy. And then you find out slowly, oh, well, you know, he definitely sexually assaulted this woman, whether he wants to believe he did or not.
Right.
And then on top of that, you also have an entire subplot about the fact that he thinks he's sorry, and then when push comes to shove, the first thing he does is throw a woman off of a water tower. Yeah,
I know, that was, like, so perfect. That whole scene is so perfect. I think that's where the comedy aspect really comes into play, because the timing of that was also perfect, right?
Yes, exactly. I mean, and that's where, again, we've said in the past how people like Jordan Peele are able to succeed in, and even John Krasinski's another good example, are strong people who understand the genre, and because of their comedy background, they understand timing. And Zach Krieger seems to be somebody in the John Krasinski mold, where he has big, grandiose ideas that need to be on a big screen like this. He's not doing the social horror quite like Peele, but he has a big idea of how to functionally make a movie scary, and he's doing it in the because of his timing. The every single bit, it's funny. Throughout the, like, he sprinkles in little bits of humor, whether it be, you know, when Tess gets downstairs and she opens the door on accident and she finds the first little cave, she's like, nope, not going to go down there. And the only reason she proceeds further is because she gets locked out of the, she gets locked in the basement by accident. Mm-hmm. And so because she can't leave, the only other choice is to go deeper. And it's smart that he layers it so that every character knows the decision they're making is a bad decision, but they have no other choice in that moment.
Yeah, and the piece that I really like about where she's, like, going into the basement, going into that long tunnel or whatever, and she's like, nope, like, it shows that, like, yeah, we're watching a horror movie. She has to go down that tunnel. Do you know what I mean? Like, she has to.
Exactly, because if she doesn't go down the tunnel, then there's no movie.
Then there's no movie, and that was, like, so perfect, where it's like, okay, she's, like, saying, like, I'm not gonna go down that tunnel, and then she just sits there, and we watch her sit there for, like, a couple minutes. Like, it's like, yes, that is, the characters have to do scary things for scary things to happen in a horror movie, like.
Yeah, again, that goes back to just knowing the genre so well.
Right. Yes.
Yes, you understand, and the characters live in a world where bad things happen. So they also understand that this is a bad idea, and they're still forced into it by whatever force that occurs. And whether it being locked in a basement or whether it be having to drink mother's milk out of a bottle.
Yes.
You have to do what you gotta do to survive, and that's what this movie is based on. And then on the flip side, you have the dumbass, oblivious white dude, Justin Long, who walks down the basement, not scared of it at all, because he's measuring out how much extra space he might be able to get for the house.
I was dying. I was literally dying as he's doing it. He's like, oh, hell yeah. Like, he's just, like, walking past the cages, walking past...
Well, and that's where that dichotomy of Tess being a black woman of color, you know, is experiencing the situation different than the white guy with privilege, who's the homeowner, who's, you know, she's renting the place from him. She doesn't know who he is, but he's so, like, he has so much power that he doesn't even have to think about this house. When he gets there, you know, everything's all hunky-dory until it's not. Like, to him, it's a normal thing to find a sex dungeon in your...
Yes!
Like, he hasn't even noticed the blood handprint on the wall in the sex dungeon basement.
Yeah.
Like, all of it is just so upsetting.
I know.
It's crazy that all that exists. There's also a whole other aspect of this film that comes in that is just crazy, which is when they have Richard Brake show up, when it does, like, the second flashback. And it goes back to, like, the 1970s. And the house looks good, and the whole neighborhood looks nice. That's where Kurt from Last Podcast on the Left shows up for his, like, one scene. He's like, man, the neighborhood's really falling to pieces. Which is, indicative of white flight in Detroit during the 1970s and 60s, which is a nice subtle nod.
That's not Henry Zebrowski's from Last Podcast on the Left. Oh, he's I think he's from Whitest Kids. The actor.
You're 100% right. Yes.
Yeah.
Kurt is also from Whitest Kids.
Yes.
But so yeah, no, he's in a bunch of stuff too. Like he's in like Basic and Long Shot and Bob's Burgers 1,000 times. Like he's like one of their like heavy reused guys.
I just thought it was so funny how he cast comedians into this. Yeah. Like my one friend is a huge Whitest Kids fan, and he was like, "Oh, dude, like it's gonna be like a reunion," and it's just like this like dork, like kind of nerdy Midwest dude.
Yeah.
So I mean, everything was unexpected. He did a really great job of casting these unexpected, like people doing unexpected things. Almost, it's interesting.
Well, yeah, and it goes back to so you have Richard Brake, and Richard Brake has been in a handful of big horror movies over the last few years. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's in. He's like a bad guy in The Kingsman. He's literally like an evil dude. He is in the Rob Zombie movies fairly consistently. I know he's in 31. He was in Mandy a few years ago. He's in 3 from Hell. Like he's just one of those guys that you're like, you look at him and he just looks scary. And so it turns out he is kidnapping women and forcing him into a sex dungeon in the 1970s, and he's getting away with it. Like, all of that is upsetting. You see how his process worked, how he goes into a woman's house and opens up a window for him to sneak back in later to kidnap her. It's terrifying. Yeah. You don't actually see him go through the act of kidnapping somebody, but it's all implied. Mm. And then later at the end of the, towards the end of the movie, we find him in bed, like, sick, and he shoots himself in the head because he's finally been discovered.
Yeah.
Like, and that's what it took for him to have the... to have that feeling to want to kill himself was when he's finally discovered. It was not the fact that he lives in filth in in the dungeon as being cared for by a monster creature that is inbred on inbred. It's the fact that somebody found out. Like the shame. Ooh, he's like, oh, I don't want to live through this. And he kills himself.
I can't live through that. The cool thing that I just sort of like thought about was the difference between the women then and the women today, right? Mm-hmm. Like women feel empowered to challenge Keith.
That's right? A great point.
Whereas when in the 1970s, she was creeped out. She was uncomfortable with this man being like, oh, we're just doing these random checks. And she's just like, oh, okay, like, come on in. Like, you know, and it was interesting to see that dichotomy that, you know, okay, like women have always been uncomfortable. Right. Yep. And scared. This has constantly been a threat towards them. But now they're able to say something because they feel empowered to do so.
Exactly. Like that's another great point is that there is just more power to be able to bring stuff up. And that's a huge positive. What did you think overall about the performances from Georgina Campbell as Tess, Skarsgård, or Long? Because I think that's another great thing about it is everybody not only is perfectly cast in terms of like bringing in their own baggage, but also then like really does bring a lot to the table.
Yeah, no, I think all three of them played their roles really, really well. Like you want to believe Justin Long's character, AJ, because like, you know, he's like the likable guy and this, like you, all the feelings, all the things that you're supposed to be feeling, you feel for those characters. Like, you distrust Keith, you know, all the way up until the last final moments. And like, even when they're like drinking and hanging out and having a good time, like you start to let your guard down. Like it's so believable. Like you feel that roller coaster throughout the entire movie. You know, those three main casts are really great.
Yeah. And even with somebody like Long, who has recently really like embraced how he can use his like young boyish like look against type has been interesting. He was also in a movie a couple weeks ago that I was surprisingly high on. God, what was it called? It was like a ghost story movie, House of Darkness, that he is playing a similar role. But I think the difference between something like House of Darkness and Barbarian is that Barbarian knows how to play up his humor much better and not make him seem skeezy from the jump, where House of Darkness frankly does make him feel a little bit skeezier immediately. And you're like, I hope something bad happens to him here. Where in Barbarian, there's more of a question. And you're like, maybe he will actually, like, be a good guy after all. And the way that they're able to get you to buy in that he's actually sorry, only to show how bad he is once again, is something that I think will always make Barbarian so good to me. Is that even when we forgive people for some of these things, we have to continue to watch them because, you know, maybe they're not, their intentions aren't good. And we just need to be aware of that. Oh, another interesting part of the movie is James Butler, who plays a homeless man named Andre, who lives in the neighborhood. Yes. What did you think of that role?
I liked it. And I liked the another piece that, I mean, it's like the, we're talking about this, like, social commentary. Like, it's another piece of that, right? Like, there was this white flight that sort of happened in this neighborhood. Now there's, she looks, like, disheveled, and she's going to the police officers and being like, hey, I need help. I've been trapped in a basement. And they're just like, oh, there's a shooting down this way. We got to go. Like,
yep.
You know what I mean? Just like the overburdened of these Midwestern dying sort of cities. And then he's there and he's like really the only guy that you, I mean, at first you're scared of him, of course, but like, he's like the only guy that like knows what's going on. You know what I mean?
Well, exactly. And there's a moment. So when he first shows up on screen, he's telling her, don't go in that house, it's a bad house. Yeah. And that's why he gets freaked out at first. That's why he feels off at first. There's also something to be said about this guy has to continue to live here. It's not as easy as I want to move out.
Yes.
Like, that's...
Yeah, he's in constant danger of this monster that roams the streets at night. Like, and he just has to be here. He's been here for what, like, what did he say, like 10 years or something?
Something like that. And that's, I think, something that people don't realize when they're like, oh, well, you should just move away from your bad situation. It's not always that simple for a lot of people who either don't have money or resources to do that. And in this case, he's literally a homeless man. And, I mean, yes, he could literally walk away. But again, there's no movie if you have a character just literally walk away from an area.
And you miss the whole piece of the social it's, I mean, that's the thing about, like, people that don't understand the genre talking about horror is like, oh, that's stupid. That's stupid. It's like, okay, like, and when you go to see, like, a fantasy movie, like, magic. Like, you know
exactly.
What I mean? Like...
and another thing about his character is, I'm not sure if you noticed the background on some of the buildings that are graffitied up. A lot of the graffiti in question that's on the other houses are warnings. So one of them in the background of a shot I noticed says "Death comes from below."
Interesting.
And I'm like, oh, it's clearly a nod to the fact that there's a creature living below this house. Yeah. And rather than anybody pay attention to that, they see graffiti and they ignore it and they move on. They don't ignore it. That's a literal warning sign to not go below the surface.
That's really cool.
And there's stuff like that, that again, you know, it's people see stuff and they judge it based on what they perceive it to be rather than what it actually is. And and it's a big part about like street art in general is people see it and they're like, this is a bad neighborhood because there's street art or there's graffiti. That's not always the case. Yeah. Sometimes it can be enriching. Right. You happen to be in Philadelphia where murals are like a huge positive for your community.
Absolutely.
But
the murals.
Yeah. But here in like Orlando, people see murals and they're like, ah, bad neighborhood.
Like, interesting.
So it's something I find that interesting that like there's literal signage that says don't go downstairs on the wall on the buildings and people just ignore it because of the dilapidated look of the housing.
Yeah, I can't wait to buy this movie and rewatch it because like now since there's so many twists and turns, I feel like there's so much to sort of pick up on now that you can like rewatch it knowing what's going to happen.
Exactly. This is a movie that I think there's going to be two ways to view this movie. It's going to be the people who rewatch it endlessly, like you and I, who are just like so into every little layer of commentary that's in it and just like the visceral feel of it. It'll never feel quite the same as the first time you see it.
No.
And part of the reason we waited so long to do this podcast, even though, you know, we're like 5 weeks after it originally released, is because we want people to go see this movie in a theater if possible.
Right.
And the other big thing to me is going to be showing this to people and watching their reactions. This is going to be like an all-time great watch your friends see this shit unfold. Because I think that the moment when Mother murders Justin Long, And then it cuts to when Mother murders Bill Skarsgård, and then it cuts to Justin Long driving on the Pacific Coast Highway, and he's just like singing along with his favorite like 80s pop song. That moment is so jarring, and you're just like, what the fuck is going on?
And you're like 30, 45 minutes into the movie, and like you're like, now you're gonna introduce this new character?
This whole new thing that we haven't dealt with.
How is that gonna work? And then you're like, okay, this is kinda cool.
And then, you know, what's also cool about that scene is then it goes for 30 minutes and builds back up all the comedy and lets you relax for a minute until Justin Long goes down those hallways and you're like, are we going to find out what happened to Tess and Bill Skarsgård? Like, what the heck happened here?
Yeah.
I mean, really, huge props to Georgina Campbell as well as the lead of this movie. She has to do so much, like acting with her physicality, with her just literal eyes, where she is communicating like all of her fear and dread and worry in like simple conversations with characters.
Yeah.
That's part of what I think helps this movie so much is that you have an actress who is really grounding us in the upset feeling she's having. She doesn't have to vocalize every single thing that she's up against. And you understand what's going on. It's great use of nonverbal performances throughout.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I mean, the fact that we could pick up on her discomfort, you know, with, you know, Keith in the Airbnb, you know, as like white dudes that have never had to worry about like that type of sexual assault. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
So it was cool to experience that. Right.
Mm-hmm. All right. So one last thing we have to touch on before we move over to our award section has got to be the monster itself, the mother, who is simultaneously absolutely terrifying and also incredibly sympathetic.
That is so interesting that like there is like that dual sort of feeling there towards this monster. I mean, obviously it looks terrifying, but as you learn the story, you're like, oh.
the actual mother creature is so terrifying. It's just one of those things where you see her in her naked glory. And it's upsetting on every level. And then the whole scene with the drinking mom's milk thing was just viscerally so disgusting and gross. One of the grossest scenes I've ever seen in a movie. And it's not even that bad if you think about it.
it's really not.
It just feels grimy and disgusting. They're caught in a little pit. She's just like, drink the milk, drink the milk.
Yeah.
She's trying to see them as her little babies. And, you know, it's somebody who's inbred. I'm trying to think of like a good monster equivalent, and the only one I can come up with is Jason from the Friday the 13th movies, the early movies.
Maskless. Yeah.
Oh, Maskless is a good one too.
Yeah. Maskless Jason.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Where he's just like, I miss my mom. My mom got killed, and now I'm just a sad, lonely redneck killer in the woods, and I'm taking revenge on all the people who probably led to my mom's death. I think, and that's what it feels like. And except this one is far more caring and empathetic, and kind of our hero. There's also a great little nod to Jeepers Creepers of all movies at the very end of the movie that I don't want to spoil if you've never seen Jeepers Creepers or haven't seen this movie yet, because it happens to Justin Long's character and it's vile and disgusting. But it's, I don't know, like this creature design is so good. It's got to be one of the best of the year.
Yeah, absolutely. She's so huge too, right? Like they make her like 6'8". Right.
Yes. She's hit by a car at one point and pinned up against the house, and she still towers over the car.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. I think that's another area where like his privilege, like he, like she's like drink, and just like you have to do this to survive, and he can't even do that. Like, do you know what I mean? He's like, no, fuck this. I don't have to do this. Like, it's like, actually, dude, you are not in a position of power here.
Yep. No, you need to do this or else you're going to die. And it's going to get worse.
Yeah, exactly.
And my favorite part is when he's like, I'm out of this situation. I'm not going to get grabbed by this monster. And instead he ends up in a room with an actual rapist monster man. Like, yeah. And he's like, yeah, this is the better situation. Is
it? Yeah, he felt more comfortable in that situation, and you're reading the room, and you're like, this is not cool. Like, mm-hmm. and he's just like, no, this guy needs my help. Like, this dude needs my help. Like,
yep. Yeah, it just goes back to, again, just a total lack of awareness. And when he finally sees what happens, he's like, this guy is the worst. He's the ultimate monster. And it's like, is he though? Is he the worst monster? I mean, yes, he is the worst monster, clearly.
Yeah.
He's scarier than the actual monster in the hallway. And that is another good reveal. Honestly, it's a good performance of Justin Long in that moment to communicate, oh my god, this guy is really horrifying. Yeah. So, yeah.
Absolutely.
All right, let's go ahead and move into the award section. This one is going to be a little bit more interesting because there's only four or five characters. So let's go ahead and talk about it. Number one is going to be best kill. What is the best kill of this movie? I have
homeless man.
I was going to say the Skarsgård head smash against the wall is really great, but when the irony of the homeless man again played by James Butler. When he goes, she'll never come in here, and she bursts through a concrete wall, rips off his arm, and then beats him to death with his own arm.
Yeah.
I mean, wow. It was really shocking.
That was so cool.
It really was. Like, there's no doubt about it. Okay. Easy call there. The Marion Crane Gone Too Soon Award. I guess this would have to go kind of by default to Keith, the Bill Skarsgård character, because he dies so early in the movie that we never see him again. And then there's not really any other character that has that, like, arc. Maybe you could argue Andre, that he's gone too soon. But I think he's in the movie for just enough time and the right amount of time. He's basically just there to give us the extra insight into what's going on.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. The Tom Savini best effect of the movie. Where would we go for this? This was difficult. I just feel like it's, like, the overall makeup effects of the mother, but you could argue that the lighting in the hallways is a huge special effect in its own right about how he limits how much you can see at any given time.
Yeah, and I think the head smash too, right?
That is true. Being able to keep us on the head smash as it's going on for, I mean, it feels like we watch it for like 7 or 8 smashes.
Yeah. You know what's really cool is it gave me Psycho vibes. Mm-hmm. What is it, 37 cuts or whatever?
Yep. No, it's just over and over and over again.
Yeah, exactly. So it was like, but it clearly there were cuts and then redos and things like that. But it was really cool because it was a cool shot.
And you just watch his head cave in on itself. It's disgusting.
Yes.
And upsetting. But
Yeah.
I think that's probably it. I think it's that makeup effect for that kill is the best effect.
Mm-hmm.
All right, the scared as shit moment of the week. Whew, there's a lot here.
Yeah.
I want to say that when Georgina Campbell is going down that first time, when Keith goes missing, that is the scariest the movie ever is, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, I agree. Him crawling out, like, that whole sequence of that kill is so scary. Her walking, seeing the... Yeah, I agree.
All right. Character with the biggest regret, the Steve Hadley Award. Again, this one seems pretty self-explanatory. This one has to go Justin Long, right?
Yeah, it does.
Now, the question is...
Or is he the most overconfident?
I think he has to win both of these because he is both the most overconfident and also... You know what, though? Here, we could also give the biggest regret to Bill Skarsgård.
Yeah, that is true.
Because she goes, hey, I saw something down there, and it's creepy. Oh. And then he's like, I have to see it for myself. Which, by the way, is another great commentary on the way that these issues occur with sexual assault, is the men do not believe the woman, even though they're telling you that it happened, until you see it yourself.
Yeah.
Again, just another awesome layer to this movie. And so when he goes down, it ends up resulting in his death. If he had just listened to her from the get-go, they could have hopped in her car and driven away, and nobody would have known the difference. Right. There would have been nothing else. Nobody dies, and instead it becomes a total bloodbath. So what do you think? Does this award go to Justin Long, or does it go to Bill Skarsgård and Keith for the most overconfident?
I think...
Overconfident. Well, I'm sorry, biggest regret.
Biggest regret. Oh, I think Keith gets the biggest regret.
Yeah, I think that's right.
All right. He had all the opportunity to just leave, get out of there, like date this girl Jet. There's a world where he's just like happily with this girl that he just met. Like
true.
She's got a new job. Mm-hmm. So
all right, and then that means most overconfident has to go to AJ, Justin Long's character.
Yeah.
Because he is overconfident. I think the scene that just like epitomizes how overconfident he is the tape measure scene where he just keeps going deeper and deeper into the fucking into the dungeon.
And he's like on Google. He's like, oh hell yeah! Like, does basement count as square footage?
Yeah. Norman Bates' moment of the movie where the whole movie turns on itself. It's the arrival of Mother when she kills Skarsgård.
Yes.
I mean, that's got to be it. Again, not really a question here. The Randy character, we haven't really been giving out this award. There's not really any reason to at this point either, because I don't see any characters in this movie I hate. Do you?
Yeah. I mean, not anyone that you're not supposed to hate. I mean, I hate the monster man.
That's fair. I mean, yeah. But, like, we hate him because he's a monster. Right?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I mean, there's not a character that's, like, annoying the way that you and I feel about Randy in the
Spirit I guess
movies.
Justin Long's character is really annoying.
Yeah, but he also gets what's coming to him, so.
Yeah, that's true.
I would still argue that even though you and I have joked about how much we hate Randy in the Scream movie, I still don't know if he needed to get stabbed to death.
No.
Like, he was just, like, kind of, like, a minor annoyance.
Yeah.
He's like a fly who's, like, won't leave you alone after you, like, did your workout. It's very different than getting stabbed to death. But
I think the one character that doesn't deserve to be annoying that was annoying was the Midwest realtor.
That's probably fair. She's pretty annoying. She's like, yeah, no, I don't know. I'm not really paying attention to things.
Yeah, exactly. All right.
The icon feedback. This has just basically received universal praise from across the board. I mean, people really love this movie. If you want another in-depth podcast about this, The Big Picture from the Ringer Network, they literally just had the best time going in on this movie and explaining it to somebody who had never seen it.
Wow.
So that would be the place I would go, The Big Picture podcast on Barbarian. And then it also has an interview with Zach Krieger afterwards. So it's about like an hour and a half conversation about this movie. If you want to hear more about it after hearing us talk about it, that's where I would go.
I might check that out.
Yeah. All right. Mandy Award. Is this their peak? There's really only a couple people who I think really qualify for this. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's basically Georgina Campbell.
Mm-hmm.
Is it her peak of her career right now, or is it the Zach Krieger peak?
Yeah.
I have to argue it's the Zach Krieger peak.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, as of right now, I don't know anything else that she's in, but I can't imagine that this will be it for her, right?
No, that's the thing about it, is this feels like such a flashpoint in her career, where anybody who sees this movie is going to want to cast her, whether as another Scream Queen in the future.
She'd be a fantastic Scream Queen.
Yeah, or if she wants to transition over to dramatic acting, it's clearly all there.
Yeah.
So I doubt this is going to be her peak. I think this is going to be the moment that we all know who she is, that we begin to figure out who Georgina Campbell is. Mm-hmm. But for Zach Krieger, as the director, it completely opens a new avenue of his career. And, he's the latest in a long line of comedy directors, comedy figures who now have turned to horror. But when you're so, like, when you have so much knowledge about the genre as he does, then it becomes even easier to, support this guy making the move. And, I mean, just for reference, I know that he went on Letterboxd and he created his own list about all of the movies that inspired him.
What?
And he dropped it. Let's see. What are some of the movies on this list? These are the films that inspired Zach Krieger's Barbarian.
Yeah.
Audition, Evil Dead 2, Drag Me to Hell, Raising Arizona, which is not a horror movie, by the way.
Okay. That's why I've never seen it.
He mentions Elephant. He mentions The Descent. It Comes at Night. True Romance, not a horror movie, but it's weird and silly like this one. Mm-hmm. There's a whole line that he breaks down individual scenes that are nodding to stuff. I mean, he even says in this article, with Psycho, obviously the unique structure in the entire cat and mouse of the first act is deeply indebted to Hitchcock's masterpiece. Yeah. Bill's performance is an homage to Anthony Perkins, in my mind. Also, yeah. the mother as the villain comes from this on some level. So,
yeah.
He mentions Get Out, he mentions The Shining, he mentions Silence of the Lambs, mm-hmm. Gone Girl, Zodiac, Fight Club. These are all the things that inspired this movie. And what's crazy is by looking at this list that he has on Letterboxd, you can basically pull out each individual item and say, yeah, obviously it's this thing.
Yeah, when you mentioned The Descent, I was like, that is such a good... The mother, right, is very much like those creatures, and then they go down into a basement, right?
It's yep. interesting. And the character design is also very similar to The Descent as well. So, exactly. Yeah, I think that there's a lot going on that influences this movie, not just horror-wise, but comedic-wise, and to combine those two into a single feature is kind of what makes it so electric.
Is this his first horror movie he's ever made?
Is it the first horror movie he's ever made? That is actually a very good question. I do not believe so. No, you know what? I mean, he made Sasquatch as like a true crime investigation on Hulu. I don't really think that counts.
No.
He hasn't directed a lot, so actually this is more or less his first directorial movie. Like, he did a couple small, like, TV shows. He obviously directed On Why As Kids You Know.
Yeah.
He directed the Miss March movie. Do you remember that one?
Uh-uh.
There's literally only one scene I remember about it. It was him and one of the other Why As Kids You Know guys make a movie about how he gets knocked out. Zach Krieger gets knocked out, like, the night of prom. Mm. And his girlfriend goes on to become, like, a playgirl.
Oh, I do remember that movie. God, that was so long ago. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
Well, the one scene that I always remember from that is, like, the other guy is, like, about to sleep with somebody, and they're, like, in an RV, and they're driving down the road, and they hit a pothole, and the girl he's about to sleep with falls out the window. Like, she just flies outside of the window. It is one of the funniest shots I've ever seen in the trailer.
Is it Justin Long in that movie, too?
It wouldn't shock me if he is.
Yeah.
I mean, it seems correct.
Yeah. It's like such an American Pie, like, early 2000s movie, is it not? Like.
But that's the kind of thing that it was. Because, again, Why As Kids You Know was that demographic. Yes. I mean, funny enough, so the fun story about this also that I didn't talk about earlier in the podcast is I've met Zach Krieger.
Really?
Because within my first, like, 3 hours on campus at Florida State, when we were freshmen, I got to school, and my other great friend, Will Newton, who goes with us to Halloween Horror Nights every year, he comes up to my dorm. He's like, AJ, the Why As Kids You Know is doing a live show on campus. I was like, what? And he's like, yeah, they're doing it right now, like at 7 o'clock, and this is like 6:30. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to leave. And I left my mom to finish setting up my dorm room. And Will and I ran across campus, made the show, and got to meet them after the show.
Wow.
And so I've met Zach, but it's been, what, 13 years. So it was very, very funny that it was like my first thing I ever did in college The Why As Kids You Know.
That's awesome.
All right. And finally, who won the movie? Again, I think this is Zach. Zach and Georgina. I think I'll give the prize to both of them because it is very much the result of both their efforts.
Yeah, I agree.
All right. So we got that. Anything else you want to talk about with Barbarian?
No, I feel pretty good about what we talked about. I really liked all that we talked about with the social commentary and even that they had, like, obviously these villainish men, but also the creepy looking guy that's not something we see very often. It's like, why men sometimes ask, why are women so creeped out by you just existing? And it's like, well, because a lot of men are horrible. Like,
I mean, yeah.
So I really like that.
Exactly. All right. So that is our episode of Barbarian. If you guys want more, obviously rate, review, and subscribe to Bela Lugosi's Undead here on whatever platform you want to follow us on. You can follow us on Google. You can follow us on iTunes, on Stitcher, on obviously Spotify. So go ahead and hit us up wherever. Always open to hearing from you guys. You can hit me up at Alan French at SunshineStateCineplex.com. That's our email address that you can hit us up at. and hit me up on Twitter at the Alan French. Ryan, your Twitter handle is keepitspooky09.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yep. So hit us up wherever you guys want. And please see Barbarian if you haven't already. It's an awesome movie. It's definitely worth your time. We hope that we have given you enough on this episode. Frankly, there's still so much to talk about. We may have to come back at the end of the year and talk about it more.
I agree. Yeah, and I'm currently doing the ABCs of Hulu Horror, so, and that is a fucking nightmare of a project that I'm doing. So
yeah,
follow me on Twitter.
Ryan really put himself under the gun on that one. So here's the one question I do have for you.
Okay.
Well, how are you handling the end of this month? Because at the end of the month, some of the stuff is going to leave.
I know.
Are you going to prioritize that, or are you just going to let it disappear and not?
I'm just going to, if I get to it, I get to it. If I don't, I don't. And I'm just going to keep going. I mean, a lot of stuff, the collection got bigger. So I had to go back and do a couple more A's. And I'm finally a B, and I'm finally watching the Blade movies, which I've never seen, which I'm super excited for. And yeah, we might have to cover Blade because I don't know how the rest of the movie is going to, like, pan out after that first 15 minutes. Like, I'm still there right now.
Well, I mean, Blade is one of those awesome movies, and it's obviously also getting rebooted by Marvel, so that's another thing. I'm curious, because one of the things that Disney just released was the Werewolf by Night special on Disney Plus, which is a straight up homage to the Wolfman, but set in the MCU. And it's awesome. It's totally fucking badass.
Okay, cool.
But I wonder if they're gonna put it on Hulu or if they're just gonna keep it on Disney Plus. I think it's gonna probably stay on Disney Plus, but they should put it on Hulu for the Halloween season just to get more people to watch it.
Yeah, absolutely. That's interesting.
Anyway,
little PS.
Yeah.
All right, guys, keep it spooky.
Peace out.